So today we're going to talk a little bit about Jung and his theories on the UFO from the mid-20th century, a little bit. And a more contemporary writer, his name is Rick Strassman, who wrote on dimethyltryptamine, DMT, and aliens, experiences, psychedelics with aliens. And alien phenomenon in mainstream culture and what is acknowledged today in varying grids on the level of human accomplishments in space travel. Okay, so back in the mid-20th century, Jung did some research on the ancients a little bit, in ancient Egypt especially. And he felt like sometimes when society as a whole was evolving and we are interconnected with higher beings, that the UFO, during times of great shifts and transformations, like, let's say, World War II, which is around the time, I think he wrote it like a decade after World War II, but still, this is around the time they're saying we're changing into a different a star phase of Aquarius. I think we were going from Pisces into Aquarius, starting to go into that phase. So he decided to write about this, and he felt like it had something to do with the ancient gods, and that they are from another dimension that can overlook us. And sometimes with great historical synchronicities, they will show us to something like the UFO. And he felt like a lot of it, man is talking to space or something, the heavens, with their brains. But it's not necessarily that they know that they're doing this. It might be unconscious or invisible to them, but it's happening at all times, that their heads are talking to the heavens. And through synchronicity and sometimes the internal world of man sometimes can manifest in the patterns of space or the UFO, which is essentially what he communicates in this book. And it's, you know, one of those things that I think changes the way that you see what he's saying as we evolve as humans and you become more aware of how advanced space technologies are now in the year 2018. So I went to college in Washington, D.C., and I took astronomy under a man named Richard Berenson, and he was the former president of American University in Washington, D.C. And before I took the class, and he was the president before I went to school there, there was a different president at the time, he was either set up with, or it's accurate, who knows, with some kind of sex scandal and telephones, and he was calling schools all over, and he got in trouble for a sex scandal of calling schools, the children and adults in the schools, and he was somebody who worked for NASA with space grid technologies, etc., and studying outer space, and he was the head of the university, and he got in trouble with a phone sex scandal of calling schools all over, and I think he had something with jail time or with an arrest, and he wrote a book on him. And when I went to school there, they allowed him to go back and start teaching the astronomy class again. And he's really not ungifted. And then after he taught the class, he made a movie for Sundance about the multiverse and how there might be more than one version of the self. And he's on the TV in the movie as a NASA, you know, somebody who works for NASA talking about two different versions of the universe, and how there's another planet sort of like approaching our planet, and they're going to have all versions of ourself in a parallel dimension on the other planet. So I saw that after I took his class and after I finished going to that school, and I thought that was kind of interesting that he was chosen to be in that one, and that he's really making a statement on that, and I thought that was great. And then when I went to Washington, D.C. a couple years ago, I had something where a lot of my data got hacked into and they wouldn't investigate anything. And I used to, I made a movie for the Department of Justice, I think I said on an earlier episode of this, the Simulcora episode. I was telling you guys how I was friends with this Department of Justice lawyer and he put me in one of his movies. And I used to live in D.C. and know people in politics and have something to do with the intelligence community. And so I got hacked into a few years ago, and I couldn't get in contact with anybody, and a lot of my stuff got stolen, and I went to D.C., and I went in the computer system at my university where I took this man's class after I saw this movie about him. Or with him in it, rather. He only has a small part, but he's still in it. It's just, all of a sudden I've been transferred into a grid where everybody, if they have a little bit of money, can do individual space travel if they just get the licensing. And there's no regulation, and you don't have to just be in NASA or work for the government. And anybody can, and we even have interfaces where you can chat with them in outer space. And there are whole populations of people just doing individual space travel. And maybe that's what the UFO is from another grid during World War II. And maybe there really is a parallel. And maybe that partially is what World War II again really was. Maybe there is something to energy grids really having different histories and technologies. And sometimes when there's a breakthrough, races of people get stolen with biological wars. And that can be something alien too. Maybe alien races even can do that to us. Who knows? But to even think maybe not, and maybe it's just human, is also a possibility, because I'm coming from a grid where that doesn't exist, and then I'm going to a grid after I get hacked into to see, oh my god, anybody can do individual space travel, and you can just chat with them in space like a Facebook chat. That's what they transfer me into after I get hacked into. And I'm from a grid where they have, you can't spy on anything. I got transferred into a grid where you can spy on, I've even looked on my cell phone at places in Europe in like a hotel lobby or like a cafe or something. And that is not allowed for in the grid that I originally came from. So it's obvious after I got hacked into that I got transferred. And that means there are different allowances and different realities going on simultaneously. I think around the time I got hacked into, right before, I rode the New York City subway one day, and it was like I looked around and I had like a mild vision of like these light strings or portals or information like connectivities coming out of everybody's heads, like they were going up to the heavens. And it reminded me a little bit of Jung's theory that like we're always interactive with a more, possibly a more advanced race, and it's synchronized with our internal thoughts. And sometimes they then show themselves to us if we reach a certain level of understanding of something. And maybe that's even what happened with me. I think it's really not ungifted in a certain way. Also around this time, I was looking when I was in grad school into a man named Rick Strassman. He did research that's government-sanctioned. I know the Central Intelligence Agency during the Great Wars did lots of research with psychedelics in the mind. They even had soldiers volunteer to see what they see when they take them. If it changes their perception of reality or over a long term, they report back to them. And they did studies with people with LSD. But this is a different plant. It's from Latin America, called dimethyltryptamine. And they believe that sometimes it is mildly produced in our brains naturally and might be a communicator to other realities, possibly aliens. And a lot of people, when they take this substance, they see aliens. They feel like they're really communicating with them. Now, some people might make the argument they could be an advanced reality designers, and it's some kind of virtual something they're breaking through to, and something can make it look that way, like in the movie Avatar. Some people think it's really real, and they're really breaking through to another race of beings. Some people think it's just a chemical, and it's just altering their perception of reality. But ultimately, I believe it's the pineal gland. They say that we mildly produce this chemical from this plant, and it helps us dream sometimes, and it might be a communicator to other realities, and that might be all we are. And sometimes if there are different energy and bio grids, something might be communicating invisibly to people, then it wants them to have another level of understanding, and that could be part of what the alien conspiracy ultimately is. Because are we still on a level that we're writing on the 1950s, like Jung? Are we still on that level? Have we advanced with technology? Because in lots of grids, you look at it, and it looks like they're still reporting that we're, we just still go to the moon, and we're still in NASA of 1960s. And there might be a reason for that. Something might be trying to protect certain heads, keep them in there, because there are more advanced realities that are, you know, benevolent and not benevolent. Some of them steal people's stuff, possibly, if you break through to another head. I had a lot of my data stolen, and I still haven't had the situation resolved. So, a lot with the alien and the other, and with technology, computers, and design, it begins to feel like if you break through to another threshold, that we are communicating invisibly with our heads to all different kinds of realities, and Jung was not incorrect about that. And also the computer is also an extension of our consciousness, and it's generating from our heads all kinds of realities and also reading us from all kinds of realities. And who knows who's looking at us or what it's designing, because that's possibly also eternal. We're from the second we're born, there are probes to us. Even if you're in a protected military grid like I was born into, you still, there are more advanced races of beings. It's possible that anything could be observing the human race via their television, you know, via their brains even. They could even be looking at us through our brains and our eyeballs our entire lives if there really are, in fact, more advanced races that are doing something else. And it makes those shows ever even more popular, like that Ancient Alien program. That's one of the most popular TV shows. If you like sci-fi and history and possibly how a lot of it might be real, people love that TV show. You know, how a lot of the technologies might be eternal, how a lot of the religions might be written into all kinds of language and everything, even in modern day. Even the ancient ones, and how there really might be always have been a presence, and we have always been looked at and studied, and we have always gone on, and we're the descendants possibly of more advanced races of beings, and that's all we are. So, while I was in grad school, I wrote a little bit on this, and I don't think a person, if they're coming in to talk to somebody in a psychoanalytical setting, that they should necessarily be dismissed. If they've seen, whether it's a hologram that somebody's game, an alien, I think that they should be allowed to talk about this and necessarily be dismissed. And a lot in how they feel and how the reality is treating them, and if they are okay and can sustain it in, is what the problem it looks like they might need some assistance with. But beyond that, to be accepting of this and think maybe it did happen. I don't think that they should be negated always, because really maybe they did see something, or maybe something unusual did happen. And to work with that. And if you're interested in the subject matter, those two books, DMT, The Spirit Molecule, is really great. And also Carl Jung on the UFO from, I think, 1959-ish, I think he wrote that one. So I recommend them. And, yeah. Okay. Thanks to you all for tuning in again to another episode on Anchor, and I hope you all have a great evening.